We like to get angry to get angry. Should we be angry that the Nebraska women's basketball team is not ranked prior to yesterday's clutch win on the road at Minnesota with the great Matt Cotney going nutso on the radio? Love that man, the voice of Nebraska women's basketball, who, him and Jeff Grisch, who make a fantastic pair on the Nebraska women's basketball games. I can't find anybody that loves women's basketball as much as Matt Cotney. George Norwood would be second. But Matt is a trip to listen to. And last night, Nebraska women got to 9-0 with a fourth quarter rally when it looked like it was teetering and going the wrong way. They are not ranked. They did receive some votes, though, as Amy Williams is having her best year since she came back to her alma mater.
Super high RPI rating or net rating, whatever.
Yeah. They had a number four. I'm trying not to pay attention to it because I looked at the men's side.
LSU's like number two in that or something?
Yeah. Looked where Omaha was.
Yeah. I saw that too. So we don't have to talk about that.
Season's young. Yeah. Season's young. Nebraska men play Michigan tonight. Omaha men play Drake tomorrow night. And then I wish I could go because there may be like beer cans just littering Interstate 29 from between here and Sioux Falls. Creighton and Sioux Falls, or Creighton and BYU play in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon on Saturday. That's going to be a fantastic trip. If you happen to be in the building for the Nebraska-Oklahoma State game that they played up there a couple of years ago, it's a pseudo-home game. It'll be a pseudo-home game for Creighton, and it'll just be a drunk fest. Just be there. Go have a good time. Really, really cool venue if you have never been there. Andy Kendi is going to join us at the bottom of the hour from KATV. Folks at ABC have to be happy. The next two Monday night games are going to be simulcast on ABC. The big one, the Rams and the Cards, coming up this Monday night. And then the following Monday, Primetime loves them some Bears. The Bears and the Vikings will be on Primetime. This week's Sunday game is the Bears and the Packers.
I get that because Aaron Rodgers is a draw. Chicago, huge media market. I get that one. I don't quite get Bears-Vikings. I guess preseason you were trying to predict something being a big game, but I don't think anyone thought the Bears were going to be worth a hoot this year.
The only thing it'll bring us is more fire Matt Nagy chance.
No Manning cast.
No, they're not
one,
back.
One left.
Yeah, they're not back until after the first of the year, which last night, David Letterman was on, Aqib Talib, Joe Buck was on. Letterman started to tell a story. It was kind of turning into a joke about Roger Goodell, and all of a sudden, Letterman disappeared. I thought it was because they hit halftime, and on the Manning cast, they don't stay on the air during halftime. They pick up ESPN's whatever they're doing during halftime, and that runs on ESPN2. But then I started to notice on Twitter, because I was wondering, hey, what happened to Dave? I love Letterman. And he was telling a story, and then, boom, he was gone. Was it because he was starting to talk about the commish that ESPN pulled the plug and they went to commercial? And they never came back and said, oh, we're sorry we cut off Dave. Dave just disappeared. Where did Letterman go?
Connectivity issues, is that what they said?
Yeah. Well, he had trouble getting on.
Oh,
how do these people have trouble getting connected?
Oh, there's no way David Letterman knows how to work a Zoom.
He's got people. He actually was pretty good at like looking at the at the camera on his computer. Aqib Talib and Buck are both broadcasters, so they handled it. I thought Letterman was pretty good. He did make a joke that he was like turning his head sideways, so one of his people said, "Hey, don't do that." You can tell, and I watched the entire game last night on the Manning cast. The game has to be scintillating to also help the Manning cast. They don't have as many like spontaneous moments. I get the feeling that somebody in the corporate office said, yeah, we got to grow up a little bit. We just can't have like just spontaneous stuff and it doesn't look like we're prepared or it's just you guys off the cuff. We want a little bit of that, but we don't want the whole show.
I don't need them doing comedy skits. There was one week where they were trying to do like bits. I don't need that. You guys can be funny, just bantering back and forth. Could we get them in the same room?
No, that's the appeal.
No, I don't like that.
It doesn't, again, the game has a lot to do with it. But it just, I don't know. It's almost like someone said, "Hey, we gotta let's try the grown up version of the Manning cast." I don't want to be grown up. That's why I'm watching it. I want fire alarms to go off. I want just chaos to happen, and they try and navigate through it while they're also talking football and they're talking with celebrities or sports stars.
It is sometimes fun when, like, we need to go to a break. You need to wrap this up, and they just cannot land the plane.
Well, you can tell that Joe Buck is in the business because he knew that they were going to break, and he just zipped it. And then Letterman one time, like, he heard the music, and so he, like, listened. And he didn't say anything, and they just went to break. But for the next 2 weeks, if you're, you know, you got the antenna, you got ABC. They're going to simulcast. The Rams-Cardinal game is a really, really good Monday night game. All right, and Andy Kendi coming up at the bottom of the hour. Tom Chattel as well. We've had no portal sounder. We've now had no coaching search sounder. We have names. We just do not have finalization. End of the week is my prediction that this will be wrapped up. On the road, interviewing, end of the week.
We do have one more Notre Dame, not Notre Dame staff, LSU staff note. Bill's kid, Brian, coming to Baton Rouge.
Brian Callahan.
Yeah. Polian, sorry.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Brians over there.
Special teams guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is Bill's kid, right? I'm not just making an assumption.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, see, when you said Bill, I thought you were talking about Bill Callahan because Brian Callahan is in the business, but I think he's in the NFL. I mean, haven't the Callahan family learned anything that you don't leave the NFL to go to college? Here is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Callahan's kid's with our guy in Cincinnati.
Zach Taylor, that's what I thought. He's got a pretty important role, doesn't he?
I think
Isn't he involved in play calling? Yeah, I think he's involved in the play calling.
OC.
But here's our new coordinator at Nebraska. You just talked with him, Strohmeyer.
Whoa. Hey, let's not get rash here.
And Versal is the O-line coach. You know, hey.
They both would get a nice little bump in salary. I've wondered for a while about Stroh. You know, he's known Scott for a long time, and they talk over concepts and stuff. Interesting, Mike, off the air, Josh and I were talking about, would Stroh ever leave? And he's got a good deal. He's got a great support. He's got a great program. The facilities are fantastic. I think it would have to be a pretty good offer to get him to leave and go call play somewhere or be a head coach somewhere else. But it's not like it hasn't been brought up before. So,
well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious. Yeah, you know, hey, they're good people at a lot of different places. And so many great coaches were high school coaches. Yeah, I mean, hey, we got to be beyond the box, outside the box at this point. But you mentioned Matt Coney. Anybody that doesn't like Matt Coney is deeply disturbed. I mean,
he's a fun listener. I'm going to go back to something you just said, because this is on the rundown list today. Lance Lynn, who is at Nebraska Kearney, they just had a fantastic year. He's got that program headed in the right direction. I mean, they're recruiting well. There's a lot of attention towards the program. They play an exciting brand of offense. What do you think, Mike, would be the reaction around here? And maybe it has a little bit to do with the current state when you're 3-9 and you have an OC opening.
Exactly.
Does it have to be a splash hire from a known school? Because there are some really good play callers that are, I would say, in the 500-mile radius that currently are not at a Power 5 school or even a Group of 5 school that are really good at their job. They just have not been given the opportunity yet. How would that go over around here? Would that just be, even if they're a good football coach, would that immediately be kicked to the curb?
Yeah, I don't care what the immediate reaction. Let me tell you two splash hires.
Go at it, Mike. You're fired up now. Go ahead here.
Two splash hires are people around here would be very well aware of. Freddie Hoiberg and Scott Frost. Those were splash hires. And I hope it works out. I mean, most people think with Frost, it's probably not going to. With Hoiberg, but the fact is, and Hoiberg I really like, but their combined record, I mean, it's
not good.
Not good. But you were talking about women's basketball. I am a women's basketball fan. My all-time favorite Husker, Kelsey Griffin. I mean, she was fantastic.
She was a great player.
Very special. But do you know Andy Markowski?
Just a little bit.
His daughter
He's really good.
And I had high hopes, and I still do. But she does. I mean, that's a big girl. And she put. Did you watch her in high school? Has she put on like 20 pounds since last year?
I did watch her in high school. I'm not sure.
But she doesn't get off the ground, and she's tall, and she's got. She probably had more layups blocked or missed than me. As far as this team being rated, their schedule, their strength of schedule is terrible. And as a fan, you know, I kind of resent that because, you know, playing, remember Danny Nee, a lot of, you know, he'd get 20 wins, but a lot of those games early in the year, you know, were teams right near the bottom of Division I. So what does that prove? But I love their two guards, Heidi and the girl from Australia. I mean, have you watched them? Those two are big-time guards.
Yeah, they. I mean, Jazz is one of those difference makers in a program. I mean, you can tell when she's out there playing. I mean, she's a walking triple-double.
Yeah, and Heidi, very talented.
Yeah, and hey, she saved him last night in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but if you watched, I know you were probably watching football, but Heidi, and half, you take away the Minnesota and Australian girls from our team, there's nobody left. Those Minnesota girls were pressing. Heidi had a horrible first three quarters. But she is super talented, and so is Jazz. You're right, triple-double. They both can do triple-double. But what bugs me is missed layups in the women's game. It drives me crazy.
You know what?
It makes the game look bad. It really does.
Well, I think there's also the part about, and I asked this a few years ago. There is the fear of, you know, shots getting blocked because it seems like every team has a 6'2", 6'3" post player that camps out underneath the basket, and all their job is to block shots. So you think that's going to happen all the time when you drive to the basket if you're not fast enough to get by them and, you know, explode to the window. You alter your shot or you're hesitant because you think it's going to get blocked. So you see a lot
exactly.
more you see a lot more bunnies in the women's game that are missed than in the men's game.
And you know what's always bugged me? Our volleyball team, they all jump great, and their jumping gets better. I mean, Cook, he's so good. He was actually the conditioning guy for the men's Olympics team back when he coached there. He's really big on the physical condition and them getting better at jumping, and they come in as good jumpers. And our women's basketball team over the years has maybe one or two good jumpers, and the rest of them don't get off the ground. And I've never understood why their jumping doesn't get better. I mean, we're all Huskers here, right? I mean, Cook has techniques and there's equipment they use. You see what I'm saying? That just bugs the hell out of me.
I can't help you there, Mike. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right, Mike, thanks for the phone call. I said Lance Lynn because I was thinking baseball, Josh Lynn.
We'll forgive you this one time. Don't let it happen again.
I want my baseball to come back. It's been almost a week of the lockout.
I think he got a long time to wait on that one.
Well, this discussion about whenever an offensive coordinator is hired, will we majority say, good hire? There's a lot of Graham Harrell hate right now. Like a lot of Graham Harrell hate. Now, this is just on the lighter side, but Terry writes in, because you're going to see what I'm getting to. The Josh Lynn at UNK is very well thought of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That program's cooking.
I mean, and there was, and Parker Gable wrote about it, and PG and I actually were discussing some things yesterday, and he said, yeah, they've had a discussion, but it wasn't about the offensive coordinator. And I said, Scott thinks very highly of him. I mean, they looked into the Coastal Carolina offense. They've shared ideas. So, you know, South Dakota State has a really good play caller. Doesn't matter where you're at. And if you get somebody that is not from USC or wherever, you know, you got to sell it. You got to sell. It's all about in the sell. Whoever you bring here.
Can they
execute? We're all going to get there. Yeah. Can they do their job? We're all going to look at the resume and past history and go, oh God, that man. When Ane was at BYU, that game against Utah, oh, that play calling was awful. That one game he had. It's all about how you sell it. Or maybe you don't need to sell it. But then there's a trust factor in, all right, do you trust the person that's making the hiring to get the guy that is the right fit. But football coaches are football coaches. Doesn't matter where they're at. If they're good football coaches, we'll find you. Some just have never gotten the opportunity. All they need is an opportunity. They just are really good football coaches. They know what they're doing. They know how to teach. They know how to maximize talent. They're great evaluators. But in this case, when you're 3-9 and this is the make it or break it, and the offense has been all over the God's green earth, the OC has to be a splash. So Graham Harrell's name is well known in the industry. He's also a quarterback coach. He's 36 years old. He's at USC. Doesn't appear that Lincoln Riley will retain him. He's from Marquis Stepp's description. The offense is pretty boy. Again, that would be very awkward. Very, very awkward. But Terry writes in, and Terry has some concerns into the Equitable Bank inbox where they take banking personally. Hi, Gary. Hi, Terry. I sure hope all this speculation about Graham Harrell as OC is just a smokescreen. Frost came into the Big Ten thinking that style would work, but now seemed to be gravitating towards power football. And the last couple of recruiting classes seem to be going the power direction, too. If we change course and go back to the air raid offense, once again, we'll have the wrong players for the system and it will fail. Frost will be gone after another failed season, and then we start all over again. What is Frost thinking if he goes with Harrell? Why do we have to live this nightmare over and over and over again? Graham Harrell immediately would tell you, and Mike Leach would tell you, that the air raid is not all about throwing the football 500 times a game. It is not, hey, it only works in places that weather does not impact you. It's worked in some places that have weather that's very similar to Lincoln and the Big Ten. That would be the response. So going back to what Scott Strohmeyer said when I posed the question about what makes a good OC, and he immediately said, went to quarterback. If there is an air raid type offense, Nebraska recruiting quarterback, aren't they better suited for that? With one on campus and one on the way. And the guy that probably would be out, Logan Smothers. Not to say that he can't. We're not going to agree. That's what we do. We fight.
No, yeah. There's going to be a lot of people digging up things, a lot of box score checking. Oh, he lost by 3 touchdowns in that game. He's terrible.
Oh, I looked into, I want to learn more about the Virginia offensive coordinator. He's been with Bronco Mendenhall from BYU into Virginia. They've been together for 15 years. You know, his name has been mentioned for head coaching jobs. Now, he's been in the business for a while. He played on the 84 BYU national championship team. Want to know what he did? But one of the stories I came across was one game where people lost their mind. He's coached a lot of football. We're not going to be able to agree, especially Joe. Joe in Phoenix chimes in. Thanks, Joe. The OC won't matter. Frost is gone after next year. This is all for naught.
Well, they got to hire someone.
Yeah, you can't just leave the job open. Hey, we're going to save some money for the future head coach. We're not going to hire $1 million offensive coordinator because we'll be able to take that money and it'll be part of the buyout, or we'll be able to be part of the new coach. Take that, Nebraska fans. Andy Kendi is coming up in just a little bit. Tom Chattel as well on the Gary Sharp Show at 1620 The Zone. The NBA, it is a Tuesday night. The NBA is back, and you can make it a winner. How can you make it a winner? Well, you can celebrate the NBA's 75th season on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. I like FanDuel and betting with the NBA because there are a lot of great options. There are a lot of plays, odds boosts, specials all the time, plus live betting. Well, if you were betting live last night between the Suns and the Spurs, ooh, talk about a roller coaster. FanDuel Sportsbook, easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. Plus, when you win, when you're the 20-4 Golden State Warriors, you win a lot. FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. No better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel. And if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link, which can easily be found when you tap the refer icon. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app now. Sign up using promo code Gary162 to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code Gary162. 21 over, present in Iowa. First online running real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.